Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see y'all here this morning. You know, this is our final week of Advent, and I want us to review what we've learned this month. Everyone pretend with me that you've got a basket in your hand right now, and we're going to put each Sunday of Advent in it. And if you've got a bulletin, if you'll look on the back of the bulletin, there's a picture of the Advent. And everyone is listed, so you can take that home with you and you can remember all the things that we're going to talk about. We started with hope, so we'll put that in our basket. We have hope because God is faithful and will keep his promises he made to us. Now, next was peace. God brings peace into our lives, so we put peace in our basket. The third was joy. We know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Now we come to the fourth side, which is the candle of love. Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? Jesus said unto him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love the Lord your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets. And as you notice, our candles are lit. Today being
Christmas Eve, we get to talk about the final candle, the Christ candle. It's white and reminds us that Jesus is the spotless Lamb of God. How fitting. Okay.
Test the one.
Okay. Today being Christmas Eve, we talk about the final candle, the Christ candle. It's white and reminds us that Jesus is the spotless Lamb of God. How fitting that we are talking about love today. Because in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now that we have all this in our basket, what are we going? What are we going to do with it? I feel sure each one of us knows the answer to that question. Go share what we have with others so they can have hope, peace, love, joy, and Christ. Let us pray. God, we have learned to love from being loved by you. And so today, let us enact that love. Let us live that love. We know that what the world needs now is more love. We need to remember how much you love each one of us, and we must share that love with others.
Molded permanently in his manger, the child exclaimed, hey, here's baby Jesus in his car seat.
I know, going downhill, but that's okay. That's okay. God is so, so awesome. We're going to stand, we're going to pray, and then we're going to do our final Advent series. I've been doing a series on Advent, and today is going to be about love, and it's really, really awesome that God loves us so much. Everybody stand up. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your power and your anointing. We thank you, God. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, God, that's too impossible for you to do. God, we watch you time and time again part the Red Sea, and time again you turn the water into wine, and time again, God, you feed us with the loaves and the fishes. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch in a very powerful way this night, this day. Help us to experience, if we haven't already, your powerful love. And if we've already experienced it, help us fill it at a new level. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you for it. The church said,
amen.
Amen. You can be seated. It's been awesome because I didn't know where these guys were going with the Advent. I mean, what scriptures they were going to use. And every week it's been amazing because they've been using the scriptures that I was going to use. The greatest Christmas gift ever given was not placed under the tree. He was placed on the tree. Wow. And his name is Jesus. So here we go. The day that love was born. I love it. I love it. See, here it goes. Christmas is a great time of love. And let's look at this and read it together. For God, y'all say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is such an awesome assurance that we can have no matter what's going on in our lives, what's happening around us. It's an assurance to know that God loved us that much. I got an amplified version here. And it says, for God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes and trusts in him as Savior should not perish but have eternal life. Now let's take this, let's go deeper. Brother Don did a wonderful job. We're going to take it even deeper. That word for love is agapeo. Not agape, agapeo. So we're going to explain this now. Agapeo means, it takes agape, but it adds to another word, and it means to love beyond measure. God's love beyond measure. Amen? It comes from the word agapeo, which is God's love, which is a giving love. God's love gives different than other people's love does because it gives expecting nothing back. Amen? When it says no greater love than this, than a man give his life for his friends, that's the word it's talking about. You give expecting nothing back. And so with that kind of love, wow, that's a very powerful love. So I'm not going to keep you long, I promise. I know I cut up, but I'm not going to keep you long today. Unless y'all get carried away. And I just sit there and watch y'all run and shout, and then we'll go ahead and finish it up. His love was so great that he chose, y'all say chose. He chose to be one of us. I love this. Just last Sunday while we were sitting here in Advent, this all came, started coming, and I worked it through the week. But three words hit me last week during the Advent service, and this one saying right here, and that is, watch this. He loved us so much that he chose to be one of us to literally walk a mile in our shoes. Wow. Wow. God chose to walk a mile in our shoes in order that he could actually understand what we go through. Now, a lot of times people have read the book of Job or heard about this, but Job is talking with God. And he's saying, you don't understand, God, this pain that I'm going through. He lost all his kids. He lost his job. He lost his money. He lost everything. His body was rattled with sores, and he had guys coming to help him, and they were doing nothing but making it worse. Those well-doers making it worse. Oh, if you hadn't been so bad, this wouldn't be happening to you. And he's talking to God, and he says, let me tell you something, God. He said, neither is there, you don't understand how it feels to have this pain. Neither is there a daysman between us that he may lay his hand upon us both. Let him take take his rod away from me and let him up and let not his fear terrify me, then will I speak and not fear him, but it is not so with me. And that word daysman is very powerful. It means arbitrator. It means somebody that can that is an arbitrator, an umpire between two. Now on the cross, that's exactly what Jesus did. With one hand, he laid one hand, God, he touched God, with the other hand on the cross, he touched man. He became our daysman at that time. Let's just look at another version of that verse, the Amplified version. I think it really, really clarifies it. There's no umpire between us who might lay his hand upon us both. Would that there were, that he might take his rod away from me, threatening me, and that the fear of him might not terrify me. Then would I speak and not fear him, but I am not so in myself to make afraid, were only a fair trial given me. In other words, God, you really don't understand. And the truth was, God didn't understand. Because God had never felt need. God had never felt hunger. God had never felt pain. God had never experienced death. God did not know these things from firsthand experience. But the daysman would. And that's Jesus. So let's go a little bit deeper in this thing, all right? This is how the Lord spoke to me. I was sitting right here last week, and these are the words he gave me. Alright. Three words describe his love shown in that manger. Number one, Emmanuel. I'm gonna go to it in a minute, I'm gonna explain them all. Emmanuel, God with us. Number two, incarnation, God becoming man. Number three, kenosis. God laying, or Jesus laying aside his divinity so that he could, still he was still 100% God, but laid it aside in order that he could experience the pain, the heartache, hunger, suffer all the things that a normal man would. These three words together are very powerful words by themselves, but when you intertwine them with the creation story, the nativity story, it really paints a very powerful picture of God's love. And I hope this winds up being an awesome challenge to every one of us in here today. So watch this. It won't take long, but we've got to get this. Emmanuel. And then shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. It's amazing how God, you know, I've had people tell me, if they want help, let them come to me. You ever heard that? Have you ever said that? They need help, let them come to me. Well, guess what? I'm glad God didn't say that. I'm glad God didn't say that to you. Because God meets us where we are, and he meets us at our point of need. All other religions in the world, all of them, every religion in the world is actually man desperately searching for God through regulations, through laws, through all kinds of ceremonies. It's man searching for God. But Emmanuel, the Nativity in Christianity is different because here it is God searching for man. Wow. That's a big, big difference. And here he is, Emmanuel, which is God with us. Now, let's keep on going. That's the first word, Emmanuel, God with us. Now, the indescribable is being described. And the very first verse that describes us in John 1:14. John 1:14 tells us what exactly happened, how we got Emmanuel. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I want to take another version. I love some of these versions, the decent versions. The ones that are really, 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 really translations and not some whatever out there. The New Living Translation. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. The Incarnation. Ready? The Son of God now becomes And how many times did you read the Son of Man? They're both accurate. They're both equal. They both mean, listen, one is talking about his divinity and the other's talking about his humanity. So he is the Son of God, but at the same time, he's the Son of Man. He's not 50-50. He's 100% God and 100% man. So the Son of God becomes the Son of Man. And this is the great mystery of salvation. We hear it all the time, the great mystery of salvation. The mystery of salvation. This is the mystery of salvation. Some people try to make it so hard and try to make such a theology a report from it that you can't figure out what God's trying to say. Here it is. Very simply, watch this. As the Son of God, he had the price. Listen carefully. As the Son of God, he had the price, but he could not pay it. God couldn't pay the price. The price was death. God can't die.
That's right.
So if God can't die, how? And God's got a price. It is God's blood. It is royal blood. It is divine blood. It is pure. It is holy. The innocent dying for the guilty. But if he's just the Son of God, he could not pay it. But once he took on the humanity, and now he's the Son of Man, now he can pay it because now they can take him on that cross. You see, he faced death in the most horrible way, and he defeated it. But it all started in that little manger in Bethlehem. So now, let's go a little bit further here. Again, the indescribable described. We talked about John 1:14. Describe what happened. Here it goes. Philippians 2 and 5 describes how it happened. We try to make rocket science out of this. We try to make it so difficult to understand. We try to do all kinds of theories about this. And it is so simple if you let the Bible explain itself. So, Philippians 2 and 5. Kenosis. Y'all say kenosis. Zootai. Kenosis. What in the world is kenosis? It's in the Bible. I've read the Bible through and through. I've never seen kenosis. We're getting ready to see it. Ready? Here's the key. Matter of fact, this is the mystery of the God-man. Ready? Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was divinity. He was divine. Y'all say divine.
Divine.
But made himself of no reputation and took upon the form of a servant. Now y'all say human.
Human.
Made himself of no reputation is where we get where the word is in the Greek, kenosis. And was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, what it means is kenosis, he set aside his divinity in order to pick up humanity. Does not mean he stopped being God. Did not mean that he stopped having the power of God. What it meant was he chose to live this life in the flesh in order that, can you imagine if he didn't live his life in the flesh, y'all think he was Superman. Nothing could hurt him. Bullets bouncing off of him. The Roman soldiers, he's bounced them off because he's God. No, in order for him to experience the pain that we experience, he had to lay aside the divinity, not meaning get rid of it, lay it aside, and chose to live his life through the flesh so that he could know and say to Job, I'm your daysman. I know what it's like to feel the pain. Let's take that even a little bit deeper. Jesus walked as a man. He walked in our shoes. Now let me read this one. This is the Amplified version. They made it real. wrong because they broke it down. Have this same attitude. That word mind is attitude. Have the same attitude in yourselves which was in Christ Jesus. Look at him as your example in selfless humility. Who, although he existed in the form and unchanging essence of God as one with him, possessing the fullness of all the divine attributes, the entire nature of deity, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped or asserted as if he had not already possessed it and was afraid of losing it. There's a lot of things we could get done if we weren't afraid of losing something. Amen? Being emptied himself, but emptied himself, he emptied himself. Y'all hear that? He emptied himself without renouncing or diminishing his deity, but only temporarily giving up the outward expression of divine equality and his rightful dignity by assuming the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. He became completely human, but without sin, being fully God and fully man. After he was found in terms of his outward appearance as a man, for a divinely appointed time, he humbled himself still further and becoming obedient to the Father to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Wow. Wow, that is so powerful. You can ask me anything. This is God talking, not me. Jesus talking. You can ask me anything. You know that I've walked in your shoes, right? That's Jesus talking, not me, because I haven't walked in your shoes. But Jesus has walked in your shoes. So whatever you're going through, I think you're not going to scare him. You're not going to upset him. You're not going to run him off. He's willing to listen. That's why he took on his humanity. You see, he knows what it's like to suffer hunger. Not just with his disciples, which they did suffer hunger, but not just there, but he suffered hunger along the way. He knew what it was like to suffer thirst. On the cross, he had definitely talked about thirst. He also knew what it was like to experience fatigue. When they were in the boat, where was Jesus? He was in the back asleep. He was tired. As the Son of God, he would never get tired. But as the Son of Man, yes, he experienced fatigue. Some of us in here like to just keep on going. Decide, I got to keep on going. I got to keep on going. I can't rest. And not realizing that Jesus rested. He knew that you just couldn't keep going. You had to rest. Some people act as though Jesus never had a dirty diaper. They never went to the bathroom, never had measles. He had everything the children of his time had. He went to the bathroom. I'm pretty sure that when Mama patted him on the back, he burped. He experienced it all. Not only that, but they tell, history tells us that Joseph died at an early age. Last time we see Joseph talked about in the Bible was when Jesus was 12 years old. So Jesus knew what it was like to experience sickness or have the sickness of somebody else. His daddy died. His earthly daddy died. Wow. He also knew what it was like to face earthly needs. When his daddy died, because he was the oldest, he took over the family business. He was the head of the family. Although he was never married, he was the head of the family. He knew what it was like to meet schedules. He knew what it was like to make sure that you had the right materials to keep that business going, to make sure that things were done right, and at the same time keep the family fed and clothed and all the house needs taken care of. Jesus was 100% man. He knew. So there's nothing you can go through that. Well, he has no idea what it's like to be working where I'm working and having this pressure, this job. He does. Maybe not at your place, but he knows because he took over when his daddy died, his earthly daddy, Joseph. He knows. You see, Jesus loved us enough have not a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, because he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let's just read this scripture. I'm going to use another version. Now that we know that we have Jesus, this great high priest, with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. Let me just say that again. We don't have a high priest who's out of touch with our reality. I look in Washington, D.C., and all I see is a whole bunch of people out of touch with reality. When I look to my God, He's not out of touch with reality. He knows. He knows. He knows. He's been through weakness and testing and experienced it all. All but the sin. So let's walk right up to Him and get what He is ready to give. Take the mercy. Accept the help. Help is here. And it's available. I want y'all just to... I came across this video last week and it touched my heart so much and it seemed like it fit right here. So I want y'all just to listen to this song and then we're getting ready to close. And Brandon, you can get ready to come up here, bro.
Shine brighter in us, oh, we need.
He understands. Remember, he said, I can't even do many works in my own hometown because they doubted him. While he's preaching, his own family comes up and goes, can you go in and get him? He's losing it. We were raised with it. Wow. He understands. He understands. And so, this week's challenge. Last week it was, let's take Paul's attitude. So this week it's going to be called the Jesus Attitude Challenge. I looked down and said, I should put Jesus' attitude. Possum track. I think this is better this way. The Jesus Attitude Challenge. Are you ready? You ready to do this? You want to make a difference in the world? I mean a difference. I don't mean just some just getting. I mean really make a difference. Watch this. Philippians 2:5, let this attitude be in you. No matter what challenges or obstacles we face with others. Anybody got any problems with others? Anybody got problems with others? Maybe even your own family? On the job? In the neighborhood? Learn to face it. Get ready. With compassion. And agape. Wow. You were doing good, Pastor, until you brought this up. Now I'm ready to go home. Matter of fact, I think you got some outside sand. You think you've lost it. Can you come here? I told this story not lately, but I told it years ago. I had a person in my family who was actually an alcoholic. And he, once I got saved, he kind of changed on me. He kept cutting up, talking junk. He said, I came by your church. Y'all were having homecoming. I saw you up dancing on the table. I think I saw you dancing through the mashed potatoes. Right to start with, here I'm a young buck. I snapped back. And one day, finally, I had about all I could take. He says, you know, the church is your crutch. It really was. But he had me so mad. And I said, that bottle is your crutch. And the Lord said, can we talk? Went to prayer because I felt the Holy Spirit telling me, you blew it, buddy. My uncle looked at me real weird. He walked off. The Lord spoke to me and said, you'll never win him accepting his challenge. The only way to win him is to accept my challenge. Show him compassion. And show him agape. So next time we got together, he started his stuff, I just looked at him and smiled. That got him more upset. And so he saw he couldn't break through that door. He backed up, took a deep breath, and threw it at me again. But he found out the door still bounced because I just looked at him and smiled. He hit me every way he could hit me, and I just smiled. And I noticed this, looking at me kind of was starting to change a little bit. One day I come up and him and all, my uncles and my daddy were in the shop talking. And I was going to the house and he called me over. So I walked over and I was waiting for him to do it again. And he said, can I talk to you? I was waiting for him to do it again. I said, sure, go ahead. He says, no, at your house. I said, okay. And we walked over. And he was having a problem with one of his children. And he said, he just left squalling tires. My wife's all to pieces. And I don't know what to do. He says, can you help me? This same man had cut me every chance he got. When I started showing him compassion and love, didn't happen overnight. But as I began to keep showing it, he says, hey, ask him what to do. So I can't remember all the things we talked about. When we got through talking, we prayed. And he went home and did everything we talked about. And about an hour later, his wife called me. My aunt, she said, what did you do to my husband? I went, whoa, I have another thing to him. She said, no, you done something to him. I said, I'm telling you, Aunt, I haven't touched him. She said, no. Said, he's not the same man that came home as the one that left arguing with my son and ready to fight. He said, matter of fact, I'm looking out there now and he's in the yard with my son and they're both crying and they got their arms around their necks. And God is doing something very powerful in their life right now. She said, I can hardly stand it. She said, can I come over and get what you gave him? I said, come on. And Beverly took her in the back room and she accepted Jesus Christ. God taught me in that instance compassion and love wins over muscles and might. Humility wins over pride. God's got this. Get ready. Here it comes. Here's your challenge. Not only face it with compassion and love, but the Lord gave me a brand new word. As far as I know, this is a brand new word to express what I'm getting ready to express. If y'all used it before, that's fine too, but it's the first time this old boy. Watch how your life's going to bloom with opportunity. Get ready to be God's lift of love to others. Not gift of love, lift of love. I didn't just get the gift of love from God. I got a lift of love because I was in a bad position. My uncle that day, he didn't just get the gift of God's love. He got a lift of God's love. Went home, him and my cousin, they're fine. Everything was cool. But it was just amazing because my aunt was watching all this take place and she come and got saved. Because instead of me taking him on like rock and sock and robots, I showed him compassion and love. And then that day when he needed it, I gave him the lift of love. It's Christmas time. You get a chance to see people you don't see but once a year. You're glad to see the headlights come up. You're really glad to see the taillights go out. Weird Uncle Frank and crazy Uncle Bobby. All them people. I hope y'all ain't got any aunts and Uncle Hanks and Bobby and whatever I just said. You can say, the preacher talked about you today. But especially this time of year, you're going to see people you may not have seen in quite a while. And the last time you were together, it didn't end so well. And you're gritting your teeth, you can't always stand to see them again. Try compassion and love. Ask God before they get there, God, help me to be your lift of love. Not gift of love, your lift of love. A gift of love is when I give you the box, you got to open it. A lift of love is when I reach over and I pick up the beggar in the ditch. The lift of love is when I reach over and I do something good for somebody that can't do anything for me. The lift of love is when I look past what I consider somebody's flaws, their shortcomings, and instead I just give them the lift of love. It's amazing what will happen. I promise you, this Christmas will be the best Christmas you had in a while. And I promise you, as you start living this new year with being the lift of love, God's lift of love to others, wow. Your life is just going to bloom with opportunity. Everybody stand. Bow your head. Everybody, bow your head and close your eyes. Nobody looking around. The first question I'm going to ask is, have you personally experienced God's lift of love? Have you experienced what it's like for God to come into your life and lift you? Or maybe you have, but it's been quite a while and you could use another lift. Nobody looking, every eye closed, every head bowed. And I'm talking to you right now. You really, really, really need God to give you that fresh lift of love. You need Him to do something in your life. And you know that you need Him. While nobody's looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed, we just raise that hand. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, bless them, bless them. Lift them, God. Give them the lift of love right now. And I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Maybe you're here today. Everything's okay with you and God, but everything ain't okay with you and everybody else. There's that one person, like my uncle. There's that one person. Every time you get around, you feel a fight brewing. You're uncomfortable because of the last time you were with them. Today, tonight, tomorrow, next week, give them compassion and agape love, which is love that expects nothing in return. It gives, expecting nothing in return. If I give them that love and they don't return it back, that's fine. Give them that gift of compassion and love, and it'll be a lift of love to them. If you want to do this, and you just need God to shore you up, put that hand up. I need God to help me do that. I need God to help me. I need God to help me too, y'all. Father, I thank you right now, Lord, for touching every person in here, God. God, everybody in here needs your lift of love, but God, also, there's people out there that need our lift of love to them. They need to see God in the flesh. Jesus has already been here, and now Jesus has gone into heaven, but He's left His Spirit in us, and now it's up to us to be His hands. It's up to us to be His feet. It's up to us to be the humanity that's going to touch those around us. Help us with compassion and help us with love, agape love, to be the lift of love to so many people. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said,
amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Now, we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. And after we say the Lord's Prayer, then I'm going to ask Brother Doug to dismiss us in prayer. Everybody said the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on the earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the gifts which you've given us. Lord, you've given us hope, joy, peace, love. And most of all, you gave us the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, that you sent to earth to be, to live a life that He would understand and that you would understand what it is like to be human. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your love, and we thank you for salvation. We pray that you would be with us this day, and we would go forth in your name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I got a lot of stuff.